Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Bell and Sperling.
What are you doing?
I'm just pumping my arms, getting ready.
With him, Martin Bell?
With him, Johnny Sperling.
You know, like he's having a workout.
I'm having a little bit of energy. We're going to be talking about Paul Pogba.
Yep.
What's he doing? Is he staying or is he going? He's come out of the weekend and he said he's ready for a new challenge, but Man United want to keep him.
The Rolls Royce is going to pick him up and chauffeur him off to a new club.
Okay.
Sorry's going back.
Yeah, he's gone back. He's
back
left.
To Juventus.
Is that it?
What?
Is that your whole song? Sorry's gone.
He's gone.
We've been debating for weeks. I think it's a bit out of order, really.
I do too.
£5 million in compensation.
Really?
Also, we're going to be talking to Steve Jackson, editor of the Golf Guide, about the US Open. Gary Woodland won it last night, 13 under.
Boris Johnson, where was he?
Where was he?
I knew he wasn't. We knew he wasn't going to be there. Our guest on Friday said he wasn't going to be there, and he was right.
Empty podium.
There's one tonight, isn't there?
Don't know. Me and you could go on it. We're going to be talking to Norman Brennan, retired police officer and campaigner specialising in knife crime. Another spate of stabbings over the weekend.
And we're going to be talking all things boxing. Of course, with Tyson Fury winning over the weekend. Our old mate, my old... He was my personal trainer.
He was, yeah.
And I didn't answer the door to him one day. he's a boxing trainer and ex-heavyweight.
Ex-heavyweight.
Darren Westover.
We'll also be talking about Top Gear. Top Gear started again, and we'll have a little bit of a review on that. Yeah. You're listening to Bell and Sperling. We are here till 1:30 today.
Yes.
Let's start with the Pogmaster.
Let's do it.
Because you know my feelings on the Pogmaster.
What are your feelings on the Pogmaster again?
He should go. Because
yeah, I agree.
I think he's disruptive.
Yeah.
You know, like he's one of those kids, you know, in your school report.
Yes.
Right? You used to get your school report and they go, he disrupts all the other kids.
Yes.
That's Paul Pogba.
Well, that was me.
It was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was me as well.
Was it you? Did you get on other people's... People, yeah. Their mums used to keep you away from him.
Yes.
You don't want to go near him.
Exactly.
He's bad news.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
My mate Craig Mullish's mum hated me.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
And still does.
Craig and Elliot Mullish. I used to go around their house because, you know, Craig was always around mine.
They didn't play for Man United, though.
No.
No.
And his mum... I was 10 years... Hey, listen to this. I was 10 years old.
Go on.
And... she used to have sunbathed topless in the garden.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I was 10.
Well, that's why you went round there.
And it was. No, it wasn't a pretty sight, I don't think. Okay. When you're 10, though,
no,
it's not nice.
No.
Even if it is nice now, it wasn't
well,
nice.
That's probably why
when you were 10, it was like, oh, my God, that's a pair of bosoms.
Yeah,
bosoms. I don't want to see them.
Oh, my God. That's from 1977,
yeah,
bosoms.
But, you know, the naked body went to a 10-year-old.
Did, yeah.
An adult's naked body was scary.
Yeah, it was.
Do you
remember? Yeah, in fact, yours is still scary.
Oh, mine's very scary, yeah.
But do you see what I'm saying about Paul Pogba?
Yes.
He's disruptive in the classroom.
He is. He's disruptive in the classroom.
And I think when he's in the dressing room and they're all looking at Paul Pogba because he's the main man, if you like.
Yes.
And they're going, what's happening, Paul? And then Paul goes, let me tell you, this manager ain't good enough to be here.
Right.
Right? And he sets the cat amongst the pigeons and they all start going, he might be right.
You think he's talking about Solskjaer like that?
Without a doubt. I really do.
But Solskjaer really loves him.
I think, honestly.
Do you think so? Yeah. I think he did that, obviously, with Mourinho.
Yeah, but I think he's done it. I think he's done it again. I really do.
He's stirring it up.
Stirred up. There's something about him that, you know, look, he's a gifted footballer.
Yeah.
Two-footed, gifted footballer.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, if I'm honest, he's a lazy player.
Yes.
Okay? And he expects all the others to do the work around him. And right, I just think he's a lazy player. And for me, I would get rid of him. I would have started the Cole there. I would have got rid of him and started building a new team. Now, the fact he's come out at the weekend. Pogba 26 said on Sunday that it could be a good time for a new challenge somewhere else. Now, obviously, Juventus and Real Madrid would be interested.
Yeah.
Juve would be interested in having him back. But Manchester United expect the midfielder to stay at the club this summer. Now, I just think I'd start with him, John. I'd get rid of him.
Yeah, no. I always said Solskjaer wants to build the team around him. And I think that's he still wants to. I'd get rid of him myself. Yeah.
Just lazy. Listen, we had the friend of our show, Razor Ruddock, on the show.
Razor.
And Razor said, you only got to watch that last game, okay, when there was a throw-in. And it literally, Pogba just let the fella run past him. They scored a goal and against Wolves. And it just shows how lazy he is. I know he's a gifted player, but you've still got to put in a bit of work. And he's not putting in the work for me.
Mm. So you think he's going to go, you think he might go to Juventus?
I think if his agent is clever, he would start doing it now. He would start sorting it out. Because I reckon that Pogba's looking at this. Mm-hmm. And his agent is probably asking, who are you looking to sign to make Man United better?
Yeah.
Right, okay. And if they give a couple of names, they've just bought the boy from Swansea. Mm. They go, there's a start. I go, really? Is that it? Daniel James from Swansea?
Yeah.
Is that where we're at? Mm. And so they're probably saying to Pogba, you need to get out of this. This is a sinking ship.
But he did say in March that it'd be a dream for anyone to play for Real Madrid under Zinedine Zidane.
So. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, he's dropped enough hints for him to get out.
He has.
And I just, look, at the moment, listen, we had our friend Teddy Sheringham on the show, and he said, when you get the call to go to Man United, don't matter whether you're the cleaner.
Mm, but that was the old Man United. Not the Man United that have, you know, not been so hot the last couple of years. Mm. It's a different Man United.
It is a different.
You got the call from the old Man United when the old Fergie was there. Mm. Yeah, you jumped.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to jump now for Solskjaer.
But that's what I'm saying.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's why Pogba's agent is probably saying, let's get out of here. Mm. Right?
Yeah, I agree. It's a sinking ship at the moment.
Yeah. You know, like when you're in a nightclub, right? Yeah. You're in a nightclub and it's all going great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing a bit of music you like.
Yeah. That's not very often.
Right. But this is what I'm saying. Playing a bit of Chic and a bit of Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You're enjoying yourself.
Yes.
And then suddenly the DJ comes on.
Yeah.
Starts playing Stormzy.
Oh, no.
Right.
And that's when I leave.
That's when you leave.
That's when I go to the cloakroom.
You see what I'm saying?
Not that I ever wore a coat.
No,
that's when I go. But it's when I go to the cloakroom.
That's when you go to the cloakroom. You got me coat.
You never
came in with one.
Oh yeah, well I've come here anyway.
Well, I've got a ticket.
Yeah, very attractive lady serving.
That's right.
So I can't stand by the coach.
But it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're in a nightclub. They're playing the music you like. Everything's tickety boo.
Tickety boo.
And then suddenly they put on a song that you don't like, and then your agent or your mate says, "Oi," gives you a little elbow in the ribs, and says, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's go somewhere.
Let's go and get a kebab.
Let's go and get a kebab. It's true, isn't it? Go and get a kebab and a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
You know, because a Diet Coke always goes well with a kebab.
Hang on a sec.
Go on.
You're having a greasy kebab that's about 85,000 calories.
Yeah.
Why are you going to bother with a Diet Coke?
Exactly. But you have Diet Coke.
I have Diet Coke, because I'm, you know, diabetes is... Yeah.
But it doesn't matter about your diabetes.
Mind you, I still have a big cake. So... I don't see the point. It doesn't matter, does it?
Doesn't matter, does it?
Should we, after the break, talk about a bit of Sarri?
Yeah.
I think we should.
He's gone. And you think it was...
I absolutely think it's just a disgrace. And I think that the Chelsea supporters are a disgrace.
Ooh.
I really do.
Talk about it more when you come back. Love Sports. Maurizio Sarri has left Chelsea to become manager of Serie A champions Juventus on a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Now, look, the only thing I can say about this, John, we said it's unbelievable. They came third.
Yep.
They're in the Champions League for next year.
Won the silverware.
Won a bit of silverware.
Yep.
And, you know, he's gone. But the only reason why I'd say this, the Chelsea fans were not happy with the way that he played football.
No, they weren't happy with him at all.
Or the way that he smoked.
Or the way that he smoked.
By the way, discrepancy. Yes. Discrepancy. Now, we were told by a very good source, worked at a tobacco firm, that he smoked 80 a day.
Right.
And then this report's come out. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is fair, that he only smokes 40 a day.
Well, that's nothing.
It's nothing, is it?
No.
I mean, what was you at your height?
Well, it depended if it was a night out or not.
Yeah, go on. What would you feel?
I could have done 40, I suppose.
Yeah?
Well, I suppose, you know, on a night out, what do you mean? Go out, have a drink.
Yeah.
Well, it's one after the other, isn't it?
Is it, yeah.
It's not so easy now, because if you're in a place, you have to...
Go outside.
You have to keep going outside.
Yeah.
So...
Let's go outside.
In the sunshine.
I know you want to, but you can't.
Let's go outside.
So, look. 40 is not that bad, is it? Because we worked out that if he smoked 80 a day, it was 17,520 pounds, which we figured out you could have leased an Aston Martin.
Yeah, well, it depends what brand he smoked. I mean, if he was doing roll-ups, then it would cost him a lot less.
Yes, yeah.
But tailored, they're expensive.
Roll-ups are bad, aren't they?
I can't stand them.
No.
See someone with a roll up.
Yeah.
And they said, do you want one? I go, nah.
Not really, no.
No.
Not for me.
No, not for me. Definitely not for me.
But look, at the end of the day, he's left. And I think.
He's gone.
Do you know what, though? He's gone out on a high. Don't you think he's gone out on a high?
Absolutely. He can go with his head held high.
I mean, the fella was he's a bank manager till he was 40.
Well, he ain't done bad for a bank manager. That reminds me of not bad for a bank manager. Yeah. It reminds me of me and you when we used to do the pubs.
Yeah.
And we were doing one pub once, and we came off half time. This fella came out and said,
"Good singers.
You good singers. What do you two do? What do you do for a living?"
Yeah.
And you said to him, "Well, actually, you know, we're a couple." We're a couple of welders. And the bloke went to you, he went, "Wow, blimey, you've done half seen well with a couple of welders."
It's true, isn't it? I think they still say that to us. Listen, John, we'll come back to the sorry story, but we are talking about the US Open. Yeah. Gary Woodland held off the challenge of defending champion Brooks Koepka to win the US Open at Pebble Beach by 3 shots. Unfortunately, Justin Rose shot a 3-over par round 74 to finish tied third on 7-under. Joined now by Steve Jackson, editor of Golf Guide. Morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning. I stayed up as long as I could to watch it last night, and I just saw the slide of Justin Rose. He was still about sort of level par for the first sort of 5 or 6, but everyone was just creeping away, weren't they?
Yeah, you probably stayed longer than me, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was one of them whereby you just felt it just wasn't going to be his day, and as much as I enjoy watching Brooks Koepka, I didn't want to watch him win another one. So I was actually quite pleased this morning when I woke up and it wasn't Brooks Koepka who'd won it.
Was you pleased Gary Woodland won it, though? I mean, it's his first major. Is he going to go on to do more, do you reckon?
I suppose the question is, who is Gary Woodland? Because a lot of people won't necessarily know who he even was.
To be honest with you, I thought he was a welder.
Yeah, well, he's never played in the Ryder Cup, so really, and I'm not sure how often he's played on the European Tour, so not a lot of people over here would have heard of him, but, previously he's won 3 times on the PGA Tour. His best performance actually in the major was last year in the PGA when he finished 6th, played with Tiger in the last round, so he's improving.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it's one of them. I'll tell you what, if you'd give me 30, 40 names beforehand, he wouldn't have been anywhere near them.
Yeah.
So, over the years, there's been guys who've come in and won the US Open who you might not have heard of. Lucas Glover a few years ago. Graham McDowell might have been a bit of a surprise choice, which obviously was the last one at Pebble Beach. But, I hope he does. I hope he does go on and do a bit better than those guys and actually does win with multiple majors. I'll tell you one thing, I was watching, kind of like, came in last night, I was on the golf course, and came in and kind of like put it on early on. And they had some footage of him on the practice ground, and they were half asleep when I came in, and they said, and he's never won a major. Like, he said, I looked up and I thought, that's stupid. That's Brooks Koepka. He's won plenty of majors.
Yeah.
Didn't he look? He looks very similar to him.
Look
big build, hits a long ball. you know, if he has anything like the career that Brooks Koepka is having at the moment and probably will have in the future, then he might well challenge for more majors.
I mean, Brooks Koepka, I noticed on his front nine, he had a string of like three or four birdies on the chart, and it looked like, this. I mean, it was quite incredible golf, wasn't it?
First five holes, 5-1 putts, four birdies, and a really good par save as well. I mean, look, let's have a look at these guys' statistics. He won the US Open in 2017. Since then, he's gone 6th, 13th, 1st, 39th, which was last year's Open, 1st, 2nd, 1st, 2nd. This guy is something pretty special. He knows how to play golf. You know, we had a chat last week about whether I thought he'd win this competition. I didn't think he could because I didn't think this is a golf course which was suited to him. He's proving me wrong, and I think he's proving a lot of people wrong, that this guy can challenge for all four majors, not just the US Open and the USPGA, whereby he's, you know, his game is suited. This wasn't a US Open course. This was an Open Championship course. This was a links course, and he proves a lot of people wrong, and he could quite easily challenge at Port Rush for the Open Championship in July.
Well, I was thinking, because we were talking about it before last week, and we were sort of saying this is not really going to suit the big hitters. It's more target golf. You've got to be, you know, so perfect. Greens are small. But he's got a bit of both, hasn't he?
Absolutely. And also, you know, we mentioned Rory. I said that Rory wouldn't win it because of those reasons. He finished in the top 10. Justin Rose is not a short hitter. He was third. So, yeah, when we talk about long hitting suits, you know, the courses which suit long hitting, don't forget, if you can hit a driver longer than anyone else, then you're going to be able to hit a 3, 4, or 5 iron longer than anyone else. So, of course, if you can do that and you can stick it in the middle of the fairway, you're going to be closer to the green. You're going to have a better opportunity of getting up and down and having no birdie putts. So, you know, every course is going to suit someone who can hit it straight and long. And that's what these guys can do. You know, I'm not sure which hole it was. There's a par four out there, which is, you know, they're having a crack at it, and to get it through to the green, there's a gap of about 3 yards, and they're doing it.
I know,
it's ridiculous.
It's incredible. Just you mentioned Rory there. Look, a lot of my mates are on our sort of golf chat, if you like, and you know, sort of pin all our hopes on Rory, and then you'll always see a comment, "Oh my God, what has he done?" It's not a lot of consistency lately, is there?
No, I mean, won the previous week, was exceptional in the final round.
That's true, I forgot about that one.
well, there you go, that says it also, doesn't it? He is inconsistent, you know, he can do it from one week to next. You know, he shot 61 in the final round last week to win the tournament. If the shot's in the similar yesterday, he would have won it yesterday. But, you know, that was, you know, he's not going to shoot a 61 in the US Open. But, look, at the end of the day, he's a quality player. He'll win. I'd be amazed if he doesn't win another major, possibly even, you know, the Open Championship. It'll be back on, if you like, home territory, back over in Ireland for him. So he's a quality player. There's no doubt about that. And he'll win multiple competitions for the rest of his career. So I wouldn't write him off just yet.
Yeah, great. Great.
What about Tiger Woods? I mean, what's happened to him? Do you think it was a bit of a fluke winning the wing this year? Do you think you could do it again? I've got my doubts.
Well, the Masters is a perfect tournament for him because he knows like the back of his hand, and he got it on the perfect day. Yeah. And don't forget that man Kupka was putting a bit of pressure on him, but he still managed to come through and beat him and beat the rest of the field. He'll challenge again for the Masters next year. I hope he's up there again in the Open Championship this year. Do I think he'll win more? I don't know. Look, I wrote him off many years ago and said that he wouldn't win his 15th, and he did. So, look, he's once again, you know, you can't write off someone who's that good.
No.
You'll be the same as me. You would have watched him the first few holes yesterday, and he was dreadful. For
right.
Four holes, he was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And then went ridiculous. You know, he birdies pretty much all from then on and finished 2 under for his final round, which is, you know, the way he started was exceptional, and that's what he is. He's a fighter. He's a fantastic player, and he'll win tournaments, whether it's majors or not. I don't know.
See, Johnny Sperling said that at the time. He said, "I just think it was a one-off. It's like he's done it. You know, he's come back, and it's sort of like he's relaxed now. He's sort of got past the post, and everyone can say he was the greatest ever, if you like. But I do think that when he's in a position where he's fighting for it, where he's close to it, he's got the mental strength to sort of close the deal." I think if the start of his game is not so great, it's not there. But if he's in amongst it and he's in the top three, He's got something different in his brain that the others haven't got.
And don't forget, they all know that now. After the US Masters, they all know that when Tiger's in that final group or last couple of groups, you have to beware the Tiger. And not happened for him so far. He's not played too many tournaments since the Masters, to be fair to him, and so he hasn't had too many opportunities to add to that win. But it's great to see him back, and it's great to see him playing well, and long may it continue.
Oh, great. Listen, Steve, thanks ever so much for your time. In fact, we're going to try and dig out our Tiger song that we wrote about Tiger Woods, and we'll perhaps play it after this break. Thanks ever so much, Steve, editor of The Golf Guide.
We always drag it out, don't we? The old Tiger song.
This is Love Sport.
You're back with Bell and Sperling. Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking to Michael Northcroft, furniture maker to the stars. He cannot sweep the floor anymore because it's a health and safety hazard.
Yeah.
Well, it's gone mad.
Oh, it's gone mad, isn't it? We're going to talk to Kieran Wellington for a cricket update.
We're also going to be talking about last night's UNICEF game. Mm. Mark Wright missed a penalty. Lee Mack took the worst penalty.
He did. And he also, Mark Wright was very cocky in taking it. Did you see?
Well, he would be.
Very cocky, and he tried to sort of dummy him. Yeah. Hit it wide.
Never, ever do that.
No, and we're going to be five things you didn't know or should know about Tyson Fury.
It's all coming up the Bell and Sperling Show. We are here till 1:30 today.
By the way,
go on.
With him, Martin Bell.
And him, Johnny Sperling.
You missed it.
I did.
You missed it.
Don't know where it went. just before we talk about this, let's just go on the UNICEF game last night, John.
Yes.
By the way, obviously, Piers Morgan is all over the news today. He's jumping up and down about it because he was manager of the rest of the world. But he was also co-manager with Harry Redknapp.
Normally, the rest of the world manager is somebody from the rest of the world.
Yeah, but the PR people thought we'll throw in Susanna Reid over there and we'll throw in Piers over there. Okay, but what I noticed last night is Harry Redknapp never got a word in. He never, in all the interviews, he hardly said a word.
Very smart he looked, didn't he?
But it was all Piers.
Yeah, it was all Piers.
You know, it was just...
Did you see him at the end? He was soaked.
Yeah.
With champagne. But you see, it was like a football yob.
All the main people, like Bradley Walsh was,
Bradley was there.
Manager.
He's looking a bit old, old Brad, isn't he?
Oh, I was going to try and get him on this morning. Don't say that.
No, Brad, he's looking a bit...
Don't tell him.
No, I won't tell him.
No, but what I'm saying is, all the prominent characters of the years previous never got a word in.
No.
Because Piers took over.
Yes. It was the Piers show.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, when I just said that he's looking older, what I meant was, the trouble is, when you watch The Chase, right, and you think, this is great. Oh, you watch him like lose or win. Yay!
Yeah.
2013.
Was it really? It's reruns.
It's like, you're watching shows from like 8 years. Of course he looks younger.
Oh, well, we'll try and get him on this week.
Yeah, see what he's, I love Bradley. Yeah.
When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about that because I want to talk about Lee Mack's penalty. Why was he allowed to take a penalty?
We'll talk about it now.
It's absolutely useless. Now we're going to talk about furniture.
Furniture.
This is a great story. Furniture maker Michael Northcroft has been ordered to stop sweeping his factory floor with a broom by safety inspectors because they say it's a health hazard.
Yeah.
It's just gone mad. We're joined now by Michael Northcroft. Michael, just tell us a bit more about this. Well, the world's gone berserk, hasn't it?
It appears to, yes. So I've got a letter, 5th of June, from the Health and Safety Executive, and in it says that I must prohibit the use of dry sweeping wood dust throughout the workshop.
Oh my.
And they have kindly enclosed photographs of brooms in my firm. But that's not all. They're also prohibiting the use of compressed air line to clean workpieces. I mean, clean workpieces. No, no, that's to keep the machines running.
No.
They don't understand. They think we're spraying bits of wood with compressed air. You know, complete rot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Just to recap, your customers include Theresa May, Adele, and footy ace Ronaldo. So you've made, stuff for some big names there. And so is it the fact of that this attracted them to you? They thought, oh, wait a minute, we're going to go around and make sure he's got a high-vis jacket on.
Well, no, I don't think that they're aware of who we work for. Now, whether or not it's just one of their standard visits, I don't know. But they walked in through the door and we showed them what we do, and they took photographs of our brooms and left.
Can I ask you something, Michael? What proof have they got to make you do this? I mean, what are they saying? A few people have been hospitalised because of your brooms. I mean, where's the reasoning for it?
Right, if you go on the HSE website and Google sweeping wood dust,
yeah,
you'll see there's a video. And on it, they've got a chap with a great pile of sawdust and a yard broom.
Oh,
that's long, stiff bristles, and he's vigorously brushing away while they measure the dust. And, of course, you get loads of dust because it's the wrong broom for the job.
Right.
That's the basis of it.
Have you got Trigger's broom?
I was about to say that.
You know,
have you still got the same broom for 30 years, but you've replaced the handle?
Exactly. You can replace the broom head. Exactly. It's completely biodegradable. It's made of wood and bristle, and it's not a pile of plastic from the other side of the world, i.e. a vacuum cleaner, which doesn't even work. Trying to pick up mixed waste off a factory floor with a vacuum cleaner is a complete waste of time.
So the Henry
just get blocked up.
The old Henry's no good for you.
Well, they're lovely, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they're not right for this job. No,
of course they're not. I just honestly, this is so mad that Michael that we've done a feature earlier on four people have been stabbed to death over the weekend, and we got people coming round yours. Saying,
we're worried about the dust you're sweeping up.
Wasting time.
A waste of time. Now, what can they do to you? What can they force you? Can they fine you?
They're already charging something, I think, was it £111 an hour for their letters, visits, the whole thing. And now that I'm objecting, they'll be trying to charge for that.
Wow.
So I've written to them and said, I'm not going to pay. Now, look, if they want to push it, they can take me to court and I'll argue my case because it's bad methodology. They don't know. Well, it's so sad. They don't know how to use a broom.
So I understand you've got 10 workers and they're saying that sweeping the sawdust is exposing your 10 workers to a substance hazardous to health, namely airborne wood dust. I'm right in the fact that you were... that you deal with wood, so there will be some wood dust kicking around, won't there? I mean, that says it in the name, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
okay,
does, yeah.
Wood. So there will be wood dust. What do these people expect you to... I'm trying to figure out what they expect that your factory should be doing.
Yeah.
Look, we all have very good dust extraction systems now. Whopping great things that suck up dust. Really effective. But that's not sufficient. We have masks, face masks, but they want us to use vacuum cleaners. So we're not allowed to use compressed air to blow the vital workings of a machine anymore.
Huh.
And this does matter because these machines are the Rolls Royces of their era. Why? Because they produce better quality more effectively and it keeps the guy safe. Hmm. And this is what we've all been doing. For all my working life, I mean, I'm 63 and 7/8, and this was all established with good methodology, inquiring minds, and now we have an HSE that doesn't know what our machines are called. They don't know what they do. They appear to know almost nothing about making things, and it's sad. But it's actually threatening our business.
Yeah, of course
and
it is.
And when we look at, you know, why did Dyson not manufacture in Britain? I mean, I haven't discussed it with him. I don't know him. But it's this sort of thing gets factored in.
Yeah.
Because we need people with inquiring minds to create for themselves and their families and the country.
Yeah.
And this is getting in the way. I think it really does matter.
In fact, red tape gets in the way of everything. We've gone completely PC bonkers.
Well, I mean, the broom situation, I believe, is sweeping the whole country. One of the guy's sons
very good.
He's an electrician, and he rang his dad up and said, "Oh yeah, we're not allowed to use brooms either."
No, it's
wow.
so
It's coming.
So this isn't just my firm. This is the HSE moving big time.
You worked for you did for Theresa May, didn't you? She's gone off of one of your brooms. She's going to get on it.
Yeah.
And off she's going to fly.
She's flown away.
I couldn't possibly comment on that one,
Michael. It's very hard for us to talk seriously about brooms when Trigger pops into your head. Oh, it really is.
I've had the same broom for 20 years,
Michael.
Well,
listen.
I have. I mean, it's completely true.
Have you really? Have you really, Michael? You got the same broom, and you haven't replaced the handles and the bit on the end.
The handles stay good. It's the broom heads. Eventually, they wear out. But I tell you what, you've got to do a few thousand miles on them before that.
Well,
I'll bet Theresa May's doing a few thousand miles as we speak. Michael, listen, we wish you well with this battle.
We do,
and we sincerely hope that you win the battle.
Yeah. Tell them to brush off.
Yeah. Michael Northcroft there, furniture maker to the stars.
Poor Michael.
It's all gone bizarre.
And it's all gone mad.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Love Sport.
You're back with Bell and Sperling. Obviously, we were just talking about cricket and India v Pakistan, and we were just talking about the various bits of play. And we said that you could play jumpers for goalposts for football.
Yes.
That's all we had. That's, you know, we sort of...
Jumpers for goalposts and skins and shirts.
Skins and shirts. I like that.
Do you know what? They always made me be a skin.
I bet they did.
I was very unhappy with
and
that.
And it's terrible when you took your top off and you had a bra on.
Yeah, bigger boobs than the Mrs. Compton.
Mrs. Compton. Listen, John, do you know about deep faking? Do you know what deep faking is?
Well, I know about deep frying.
I know you do.
A few chips. Yeah. You've got to be really careful when you say deep something, haven't you?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
You thought this was going to be deep frying. You were really looking for...
I was really looking for nice chips and scampi.
Bit of batter.
You deep fry scampi,
this is deep faking. People were putting words into other people's mouths.
What, into their mouths? Words,
Not deep frying. We're joined now by Chris Green, Love Sports technology correspondent. Chris, do you want to try and explain this on the radio? Because it's not easy to do.
No.
You're right, it's not the easiest thing in the world to explain, but put simply, it's using computer manipulation in most cases, and artificial intelligence to actually... fake things like videos and audio and things like that. So it sounds like a certain person has either said or done something that they haven't done. I mean, it can be, whether it's footage of a politician saying something they didn't say or a celebrity appearing in a video in a compromising position that they were never in
well,
the first place.
Do you know what? I was going to say that. I said, when Photoshop became very apparent that everyone could use Photoshop, which I still struggle with, that you could make somebody, and I was praying that nobody used my face, because, your face is...
Your face for what?
Well, because it's shared across Facebook, it's shared across Instagram and Twitter and everything, that somebody could take your face and put your face on somebody else's body, make you look like you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing or whatever, and that was always the worry.
Yeah.
And now... You've got it actually as a video, haven't you?
Mm.
That's right. We're into video with the audio to match. So you can even now use, artificial intelligence-based computer manipulation to alter, a video and a headshot of a person so that their mouth is even moving to marry up with the new words that you've created.
Right.
Yeah.
It really can be very convincing.
Well, luckily for us, we've got our very own Cal Halbert here.
You're our very own Cal Halbert, Cal. Thank you very much.
He's a wonderful voiceover artist.
He certainly is.
And he does a bit of Donald Trump. Now, I'm just trying to think what we can get, what we would get Donald Trump to be saying.
Mm.
So what we're saying, we'd have a video of Donald Trump doing a speech, and you're saying that we can manipulate his mouth to move and say different words.
Have you ever done this, Cal? By the way,
no, I've never done. I've done voiceovers and stuff of things because we've never really had the technology to do this sort of thing. So if you had Trump going like, "I like Sadiq Khan, I think he's a fantastic guy," He's the greatest mayor London has ever had. He's so fantastic. So, dude, such a great job. Such a great job. Putin, nasty man. Real nasty man. Real nasty. Boris Johnson, awful. Just awful. Nigel Farage, never met him in my life. Never.
That's what I'm saying. So you could get... Yeah, we could get... Donald Trump saying completely the opposite to what he would normally be saying. Is this how...
Is it just a mouth? Is it? Is that what it is?
Is this how it, works, Chris?
Well, to an extent, I mean, you know, we could have the voice over there with him saying completely out of character stuff and using some very simple computer software. Yeah. I could take a piece of footage. Let's say, for example, him standing at the podium when he was over here for the state visit.
Yeah.
And we could manipulate, you know, his facial features and his mouth so that it marries up with that, with those words.
That's
so, for all intents and purposes, he stood there and he said it.
So, Chris, it's not actually another person. That it's computer generated. The way you manipulate it.
It's computer manipulation. Yeah, but I mean, but there's a number of ways that, you know, we can pull the material together. So we're using technology, for example, you know, to actually fiddle with the video. In some cases, we can use computer technology as well to spoof the voice.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you've got someone on hand who can do a great impersonation like that,
yeah,
then we can marry the two together.
And it is a great impersonation.
So, do you know what? You probably know about the website, or you get the thing sent through from Mad Lips. I don't know whether you have that. I get these Mad Lips.
Well, we did a couple of videos with it, didn't we?
We did a few things. And
yeah,
we did it at the Annoying Orange that was on. And so, you know,
yeah,
and basically you take someone's face. In fact, we did it for the Brazil
and
team.
And the mouth is sort of cut out.
And we cut the mouth out,
yeah,
and we used our own mouth
to
mouth
it. That's a bit different,
that,
I think.
That's completely different to this, isn't it?
Yeah, that's different. You know, we can actually... You know, obviously you can see there, you know, that you've superimposed somebody else's mouth onto the image. No, this I can make it look all real. You know, it'll look like it'll be his actual mouth moving. You know, his face will move, you know, with the lips. So, you know, it all looks completely normal, completely natural, married up with either a computer-generated or an impersonated voice. And, you know, without some really good investigation, the initial view, which obviously for things like fake news is very, very useful.
Well, you just said that.
The initial perception is that he said it.
Without investigation. So how dangerous is this? So what I'm saying is, if we got Donald Trump saying something completely, you know, like he went out with Theresa May last night and they were...
Stringfellas. She gave him a lap dance.
Yeah, exactly right. If we said that,
it was a great night. Great night. Such a fantastic night. That is a night not to forget. It was fantastic.
As long as she kept her necklace on.
It was fab. Totally great.
I bet
totally
you
great.
Did say necklace, didn't you?
I did.
Good.
She was very strong and stable. Yeah. Very strong and stable.
But you see what I'm saying, Chris? How do we investigate this? Yeah. It's going to. The trouble is, when these things are leaked and they're put out there in the domain, people believe it. It's going to take a week of investigating to find out that it was not real, that it's fake, right?
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's the crux of the fake news challenge that we now have in the media, is that, you know, fake news relies on first impressions. And, you know, people hear and see stuff, and, you know, if it looks convincing and it sounds convincing, it's convincing.
Yeah.
And in the first instance, people will believe it, and then you have the much harder uphill struggle of debunking it. Now, you know, with a lot of fake news, you know, it gets debunked, but the damage is already done.
The damage is done, yeah.
Yeah, and with this kind of, you know, deepfaking being now so much more convincing, you know, thanks to just really to the advances in computer technology, to be able to pull this stuff off, you know, the first impressions that you can create, you know, with a spoof video, you know, are really quite impressive. I mean, a little case in point, it's not quite deep faking in this sense, but it was a fake video. You might have seen a viral video that was doing the rounds at the back end of last week and over the weekend of a fairground ride in, I think it was in South Korea.
I've got it. Strangely enough, do you say that, Chris? Because That fairground ride, it looked like the Stratosphere in Vegas. And some of my mates were going, where is that? I want to go to it. And I said, well, I'm going to Florida in August. I thought, I'm going to try and find it. And then somebody came on about 11 o'clock last night and said, by the way, that's fake.
What did it do, Chris? I don't know about it.
Explain it, Chris. It was like a big Stratosphere. It was an amazing ride, wasn't it? It was incredible.
The real ride is, you know, very much like the thing on the top of the Stratosphere. You know, it just pulls you up and drops you down, so you get that gravity lift.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody had faked the video in a really, really convincing way, so that they instead made this ride look like that as you're going up, it suddenly extends and becomes twice the height.
Yeah.
Then when it gets to the very top, it starts spinning people around. It drops them down on cords, so that they fly around.
It is amazing.
Then pulling them back up and then dropping them. I mean, to look at it, you know, it looked incredible. It also looked like, well, no one's going to survive that just from the G-forces. But to watch the video was amazing. Yeah. But the important thing was the video looked real.
Right.
It really looked real, and most of it was computer manipulation.
But I think the dangerous part about this is using celebrities to put words in their different mouth. Now, I'm just thinking, like we could have David Attenborough saying that he's going to replace Paul Pogba at Manchester United. You know, I'm just wondering whether we could do that.
I will be replacing Paul Pogba at Manchester United.
I actually think that'd be a good replacement, to be fair.
Any replacement Paul Pogba would be good, wouldn't it?
It'd be good, wouldn't it? What about Boris Johnson will be appearing on Strictly Come Dancing?
Oh, I'll be going on to Strictly Come Dancing and doing a cha-cha-cha. That's what I'll be doing. I'll learn a quick step into number 10, straight out onto the dance floor, doing a cha-cha-cha and a paso doble.
Yeah,
what about...
That's completely plausible.
Yeah, that is actually, you're right. Well, I was just going to say, what about Andy Murray becoming, like, really interesting?
Yeah.
No, that's too far. Can't do that, can we? Can't do it. It's too far.
Can't do that. That's going to... Chris, I'll do one more thing. Tell you what fascinates me is, and I think, if I'm right, saying... They're going to make a whole movie of, like, they're going to bring back Humphrey Bogart and James Cagney, and they can make them, like, come to life. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, we've seen some examples of this over the years. You might remember from a few years back, Volkswagen did a great advert, which was a reimagining of the Singing in the Rain.
Yes.
Scene, and they modified it, and he does some modern dance moves and things like
that. That's right. Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, that in itself was a great example of, you know, how good the technology and the facial manipulation stuff had got then. Imagine how much better it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, you've only got to look at recent films such as Star Wars Rogue One.
Right, and they brought back Harrison Ford back to where Harry was in 1976 or something.
Yes, and they also had, and annoyingly, my brain's just gone blank, classic... Hammer actor who was in the original Star Wars.
Yes.
They brought him back completely computer generated, and it was so.
Well, Alec Guinness, you mean?
No, not Alec Guinness. It's frustrating. It will come to me momentarily. No, as soon as we finish the interview. But they brought back one of the original actors who's in the very first film.
Right, and he's not around anymore.
No. He passed away many years ago. But complete computer recreation.
Wow.
And it was so plausible.
So really, we could we could go and see a film starring James Cagney and Humphrey Bogart in a brand new film, could we? Really, initially.
It's mad, yeah.
That's absolutely right.
I'm just wondering how far you can go with this, Chris. Could you bring back Bell and Sperling's career to when we were on Top of the Pops and just resurrect it back to where we used to be?
Yeah,
there's not enough processing power.
Take a few grey hairs off.
Chris, thank you ever so much for your time. Chris Green, Love Sports Technology.
Fascinating stuff.
Correspondent. And also thanks to our very own Cal Halbert.
We love you, Cal. We love you.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about Top Gear. It started again.
This is Love Sport.
Listen, Top Gear is back, John. I was a lover of Top Gear.
Yeah, I liked it years ago. Yeah. Do you know the best episode for me was when he got hypnotised? Do you remember that one? When Hammond got hypnotised.
Yes.
And he thought his car. Yeah. And he was trying to get into his car and it was a little...
It's a tiny car.
It was brilliant.
It's very clever.
Very, very
but
funny.
But there's been some wonderful... I'm still watching the reruns. I watched the rerun on Saturday.
Of them when they were at Top Gear?
Of when Clarkson, that they had an old Ferrari that was about 15 grand, a Maserati.
Oh, they were brilliant.
And it was... I still love those ones.
But the new one's a little gone a bit too far.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's changed yet again. Yeah. We had Matt LeBlanc on for a while, and it's
Chris
changed.
Evans was awful.
Chris, it lasted 3 minutes. Yeah. We're joined by a friend of the show and showbiz reporter, Josh Rom. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. Really enjoyed Top Gear as well, actually.
Oh, did you? Did? So it was good last night, was it, Josh?
Yeah, no, it was really good. Former driver Chris Harris, you had Paddy McGuinness, Freddie Flintoff. Really good chemistry from the get-go, you could see it. Mm. Also, I'm one of the over 2.5 million people that tuned in to watch it as well. So,
wow, really? Was it 2.5? That's very good.
BBC Two's most watched programme of the day.
Wow. Mind you, it didn't have much to compete with. Did that much to compete with? Did it, Josh?
Yeah, no. I mean, to be honest, it's so much hotly anticipated. You know, like,
right.
And especially again, a series as well established and has the name of Top Gear that has also been full of controversy. Also, I don't think people were quite expecting Freddie and Paddy to be as good as they were as well. Mm. You know, Paddy's known for "Take Me Out," "Likey or Likey,"
yeah,
type thing. So you know, to see him presenting a kind of factual entertainment program that is Top Gear,
yeah.
You know, Matt LeBlanc did good after Chris Evans' disastrous season, but you know, he had people. I do think, you know, Richard Hammond, James May, and
Clarkson,
I don't think, you know, LeBlanc and Evans didn't quite live up to it.
No.
Like seeing new, fresh talent on the Top Gear scene, you know, I think that works wonders.
Plus the fact Matt LeBlanc had put on more weight than Clarkson. and it didn't actually look like Matt LeBlanc. I don't know what happened.
He was all right at first.
He was all right, but not great, really. And it didn't really work with the other two presenters. But they've kept Chris Harris, haven't they?
They have kept Chris Harris, but that's the thing. They've paired him with two guys which aren't necessarily the most experienced of roadies, but what they've done is they've got chemistry, and you can see the three of them really get on well together.
That's good.
And the viewers agreed. It's been very warmly received online as well.
Well, Paddy McGuinness, I thought, I'm not a lover of Paddy McGuinness, if I'm honest, but I thought he did really well in some of the ones with Keith Lemon. You know, where
they were brilliant.
Yeah, he was also Paddy's picture show. Yeah, that's hilarious.
And he was also super. He was also superb on Phoenix Nights.
Yes, he was. Yeah, yeah.
And I got to say, I've interviewed Paddy a couple of times, and you know, when he puts his heart into a project,
yeah.
He will give it 110%. So you know, seeing him face up to a challenge and excel was a really nice feeling. He's one of the nicest guys in showbiz.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah, apparently he is. I mean, I've met him once, but it was at a gig just before we were supporting him, but we were on the same bill.
Same bill, yeah.
And I kind of said hello and goodbye, really, so yeah, I didn't really. But he seemed nice, though.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, no, he is nice.
And what about, tell us about Toy Story 4, because that was that was huge at the weekend.
Yeah, well, it was the premiere this weekend, and I'm going to be honest, I don't want to give too many spoilers away, obviously. However, all I'll say is I have been to see it. I've seen it twice now before release. It's in cinemas.
Please don't tell me it's sad. It's not sad, is it?
Yeah, I bet it's good. I bet it's really good.
It's brilliant, but if you're going to go see it, bring tissues because get ready to cry, guys.
Oh, no.
Get ready to
The end of Toy Story 3 was bad enough.
No, yeah, and that's the thing, because I think critics, when they announced Toy Story 4, I think critics are like, do we really need a Toy Story 3?
Yeah.
Do we really need a Toy Story 4? Toy Story 3 had the best ending.
Yeah.
No, if you hadn't seen anything yet, this movie, I'm going to be honest, it's really quite special.
Do you know what? It's really funny,
I love Toy Story.
It doesn't matter how old you are.
No.
That I watched that with, my daughter probably watched Toy Story 3, but my son was a little bit too young, I suppose, didn't really get the gist of it, but it doesn't matter how old you are, it's still upsetting, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Because it takes you back.
And not just that, I mean, do you remember in Toy Story 2, there was a great song, I Used to Be Hers or something, Randy Newman wrote all the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one, Josh? I Used to Be Hers or
something like that.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched Toy Story 2 for over 10 years.
Oh, mind you, yeah,
I don't really remember. I kind of know what you're talking about.
Is it
10
years?
But all I'll say is when it comes to Toy Story, it kind of, the ending of Toy Story 3, I think the reason why people got so emotional was like, my God, this is now the official end of our childhood.
Yeah.
When it came to Toy Story 4, it's just emotional because, you know, when you've been invested in these characters for so long and you see these characters perform in the way they do and at the end of the movie, it's gut-punching.
Can I just ask, though, Josh, Just so you give me half of a clue, because I'm already upset thinking I'm going to go and watch it. Will there be a Toy Story 5?
I'm not sure. And that's the honest reason. I spoke to the director at the premiere on Sunday, and he didn't quite rule it out.
Right.
But nobody is quite sure.
Right, so nobody's dead.
Going.
Nobody's died then.
Oh, my. No, you're trying to get out of him, aren't you? What happens?
No, well, I can confirm no toy dies. I can confirm that.
Right.
That is something that I will confirm. Has
one of them moved to Essex?
And
have they been given a permatan and long eyelashes?
You know, Bo Peep might have had a vajazzle. I can't confirm or deny that fact, you know. But
I had a vajazzle. Very painful that was.
Just go see it. It's gut-punching. It's emotional. It's everything you would want a Toy Story film to be. It's really something special to see. Yeah.
And let's just lastly talk about Tom Hanks. Now, he's in town, isn't he, Tom?
I spoke to him yesterday.
Wow. And he is meant to be the nicest guy in showbiz, is that right?
I mean, I when you're around a star like him, you can't help but just admire them for all the work in which they've done.
Yeah.
And you know, Tom is one of those people which, you know, this film will actually, in a way, like Avengers, it will promote itself.
Mm.
He doesn't need to be doing all these press and all these red carpets, but you know, he takes the time out to speak to reporters. He gave me a really good response. He answered my question in a really nice way, and he told me he had to compose himself when recording that last scene.
Mm.
You know, he's a
Ah, you
really
told us
nice
the last
guy.
Scene.
He
you just give it
us.
Away.
He never told us.
Yeah.
You didn't
well,
tell us,
I've never told you what is in the last scene.
Okay.
And I have said from the get-go, it's just emotional. So the last scene is emotional.
Can't
Tom
wait.
Tom said he had to compose himself. That's all I have to say.
Looking
to
forward to it.
Josh,
as always, we love having you on the show.
We'll have you next week.
Definitely. Josh Rom there, showbiz reporter.
You've been listening to Ben and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.